career and our material aspirations, or can the spiritual and the material go in parallel? They can definitely go in parallel. In fact, the whole purpose of spiritual growth is ultimately to bring out the best within us. Now, we have talents, we have potentials, which are covered and choked by the negativity within us. And when that negativity is removed, and spirituality helps us to remove that negativity, then the best that comes out, that benefits us materially and spiritually. So, I was quoting from the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Arjuna. And Arjuna was a great archer. At that time, that was the vocation by which he was contributing to society, and that was the vocation by which he was serving the Lord. So, spirituality and materialism may seem sometimes to go on opposite tracks, because spirituality also takes some time. You may feel, this much time I cannot do. If I have to spend some time in studying, I have to spend some time meditating, then I can't do that much time for studies. So that way, in terms of time commitment, it may appear to be competitive. But it is not. Because if we consider our own lives, we can't study 24 hours a day. We do need breaks. And if we consider how much time do we spend every day worrying. Every evening, 7 to 7:30 is my worry time. Does anyone have in their schedule worry time like that? No, nobody has a worry time. But worry is something which is just sapping our energy internally. And this worry, which just saps our energy, it will decrease substantially if we give time for spirituality. So like worry, there are other forms of negativity. There are other forms of waste thoughts that are there within us. So in terms of time, our time is not just taken by our activities, it is taken by our thoughts also. And the waste thoughts, the worry thoughts, which consume our time, that consumption of time will stop when we become spiritual. So we won't lose time, because overall, if we think, the amount of time which goes in negativity, in worry, in anxiety, it's substantial. And if that stops, we gain time. So spirituality is an investment of time, but it won't take away our work time. It will take away our waste time. It will take away our worry time. And a more inclusive understanding of spirituality is that actually what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. So we all have certain talents, certain abilities. And we've been given those talents for a purpose. But we all want achievement in our life. So there is talent and there is achievement. And in between the two, what is required is temperament. Talent plus temperament leads to achievement. Now, spirituality is what will strengthen our temperament. So actually speaking, if we become calmer, if we become more focused, we become less distracted. That's the essence of what temperament is. So when the temperament becomes better, then the translation of talent to achievement will actually be more. So far from impeding our material life, actually our spirituality will enable us to more effectively translate our talents into achievements by enhancing our temperament. Okay. Do we always have to struggle with the mind, or at some point does the mind become our friend eternally? Both is true. We do have to struggle with the mind. But the mind is not intrinsically our enemy. It is only circumstantially our enemy. What do I mean by intrinsically and circumstantially? Say you have a computer browser. In your phone or in your computer you have a browser. And say you like cricket very much. So as soon as you type C, you're going to some site, Cricbuzz or something like that.
So the it completes, auto completes as quick pass. So as soon as you type C, it completes that side and goes over there. Now suppose now you want to study and say you're studying computers. So you want to go to some site like Computer Today or Computer Plus or whatever. So you type C, you want to type Computer Plus, but it is going to quick pass. Why? Because that is what we had selected as, we have repeatedly gone to that site and the browser has made that as its autocomplete. So now if we keep repeatedly choosing some other site, if I keep repeatedly going to say Computer Today or whatever, then gradually that will be what the computer browser will autocomplete. And then it will automatically go there. So like that our mind, because we have acted in particular ways repeatedly, that's how the mind starts thinking in particular ways. So if we have let ourselves get distracted repeatedly, we are studying and the mind says, come on, you know, look at this Facebook, look at this news, look at this movie, look at this YouTube, whatever. If you keep doing this once, twice, thrice, four times, then that's what the mind uses autocomplete. But gradually, if we, when that distraction comes and says, no, I'm going to focus on this. The more we direct our mind towards constructive things, gradually that constructive choices will be auto-completed by the mind. So yes, so till that point when our habits don't change, when we have cultivated a particular mentality, a particular mindset, a particular habit which is negative, as long as that habit is there, we'll have to struggle. But over a period of time, if we keep doing, making the right choices, the mind's habits change. And when the habit changes, then the mind becomes our friend. So the Bhagavad Gita says that all good things in life, they will taste like poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. Yattad agre vishamiva pariname amrutopam. So the initial poison is the phase when we have to struggle. But once we go through that poison, we tolerate it, we endure it. I mean, that is the poison is changing our habits. Once we go through that, once you have cultivated a positive habit, then it will be like nectar. We'll naturally do the right things. And thus, we will become, the mind will become our friend. Thank you.
Hello, Guruji.
Yeah.
I actually run a software company in Belgium. And I would want to discuss a real life situation that I have. Something which is where people who face in the future with their position. What happens over here is that this is the first point that you discussed, the first D that is distortion. What happens as a owner of a software company is that when I have a cutout requirement thing with putting delivery with the client. For example, the client says do step one, your software should do step one, step two, step three, step four. But often it doesn't suffice like that way. His need not suffice there. He says, can you do a little bit more? Can you do a little bit more over here after between the step one and step two? And here's where I feel that when the distortion comes into place, I do know this that you know, if I give him that one extra thing, then it will slow down the process. The process will become more easier for him. But then again, he says he's not willing to pay because it is out of the requirement. So I believe that, you know, this is the distortion that I face. Decision making becomes difficult for me as a person as to what to do. And I, as you said, instead of generalizing the thought process towards right things, I am generalizing my process towards avoiding things.
Okay.
How can I?
Yeah. So say when we are working with someone and we are expected to do certain things, but then they ask for something more than that, then our tendency is, I don't want to do this. If you do it, it will smoothen the relationship, will make things better, but the default mentality is to say no to it. So how do we overcome this? Yeah. The mind often chooses the path of least resistance. That means, how can I put in the least effort and get things done? That's what the mentality generally is. And it's not necessarily always a bad mentality. There are some things which may not be very important. Just do them and we move forwards in our life. So, there is the tendency of the mind, but there is also the capacity of the intelligence. So that means when somebody asks me to do something more, I have to use my intelligence to evaluate. Okay, when this person is asking me, is this person simply trying to exploit me? Sometimes, you know, they say give a camel an inch and they will take an L. We do a little for a person and they start expecting more, they start demanding more. And then we get squeezed by that. And we may have had that kind of experience with others. That's why we just stick to the letter of the law. This is what I'm going to do, nothing more. But we don't have to paint all people with the same brush. There are some people who are manipulative and exploitative. And there are some people who are just in need at that time. So we have to evaluate this case by case. We can't say yes to everyone. No. The easiest way to make ourselves miserable in life is to try to please everyone. If we try to please everyone, this person says, you know, you should dress like this, you should dress like that, you should dress like that. No, we'll just be miserable. So we can't please everyone. But that doesn't mean that we should not try to please anyone. So there has to be balance. And basically, we may decide that, okay, this person is asking me to do this, let me do this time. And then we observe the response. And that person is appreciative, and that person reciprocates. And next time when they need something, they help us. As our relationship becomes better, things move forward better. That's good. But if that person just makes that into an expectation and a demand, and start exploiting, then we may say, no, I have other things to do, this is what I can do. You can find someone else to do that. So, so the mind, one of the best ways to deal with the mind is to treat it like a child. No? The child's feeling, if there's a mother, the mother acknowledges the child's feelings. But the mother doesn't always act according to child's feelings. Mother's child says, no, I don't want to take this medicine. The mother says, no, you have to take it. So basically, we have to deal with the mind as if it was like a child. And we acknowledge its feelings, but we don't always act on its feelings. We use our own intelligence and act accordingly. And basically, relationships do require us to extend ourselves. And when we extend ourselves, there are people who will appreciate that. You went out of your way to do these things. So we have to learn the balance where we give people the benefit of doubt. That means we don't assume that this person is out there to exploit me. Yes. Let me do this once, twice, and then I observe. And then after that, if that person is grateful and things move forward, good. If it just becomes a habit on that side of the person, then we say no at that time. So we don't let our relationships become hostage to the feelings of our minds, of our mind. We use our higher intelligence and then we act appropriately. Does that answer your question?